Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of Mentally Chill. You guys are so lucky that I'm doing an episode this week. I'm telling you, you guys should be on your knees thanking me. I really have not been feeling good for well over a week now, and I was like, just don't do an episode this week. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I must have a much better work ethic than I really give myself credit for. Because I was like, no, I can't not do it. There are people depending on me. And when I say people depending on me, I'm very grateful that I don't mean children or actual people depending on me. But you guys are actual people. You're just depending on me in a much more casual way. And that I can handle. So today's episode is all about stimulants, psychostimulants. They do really help kickstart your brain and can be very helpful in the right scenarios. I definitely think they're a little bit of a slippery slope, but I did want to have the conversation because they are so prevalent in our society and I had no idea. I'm so naive. I'm like, I live under a rock, or maybe not a rock, just a very innocent place. But I have tried Vyvanse, but I didn't know anyone else who had. And I was at this get together and met this girl named Lyric Lincoln. She's a singer-songwriter. She's super cool. And I heard her say the word Vyvanse and immediately was like, okay, me and you, we need to chit chat. So she's on the show to talk about her experience with Vyvanse. And I will talk about mine as well. I've taken it a little bit here and there. So stay tuned for that. And I am really grateful for you guys. I always forget to say this. Please remember to rate and comment on the show, only if you like the show. It helps the show rise up in the ranks for iTunes, and so the show becomes more visible, and I can get more listeners, and therefore rule the world. So please, 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 if you enjoy the show, do a quick rate and comment, and that would be amazing. I apologize for any sort of dog sounds in the background. He's been a very patient boy as I've been sitting here editing the show, and now, of course, as I go to record, he just cannot sit still. So I need to get him some of that Vyvanse, some of that ADD drug. But anyway, enjoy the show, guys. You know. Ugh. So we met and we were watching this basketball game, and then all of a sudden I heard the word Vyvanse. And my antenna just went like whoop, 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 whoop. Because I now know Vyvanse, and I've never talked to anyone about it, and I've never known anyone who's taken it. Mm-hmm. And it was like you said that, and this whole world opened up showing me that a lot of people know Vyvanse and mm-hmm. things like that. So for people listening, if you're not familiar with what that is, it's a stimulant used for ADHD and also for like binge eating disorder, mm-hmm. one of the uses. But it's similar to Adderall, and it's kind of like this crazy way to wake your brain up. And I've taken it a couple of times, mm-hmm. and every time I've taken it, I've felt so amazing and like I could rule the world. And so I heard you mention it and then needed to talk to you. But then a few days later, I saw on Netflix a documentary titled Take Your Pills.
Mm-hmm. I still haven't seen that.
And it actually, I thought it was better than, I think it only has like 3 stars or something on like IMDb. Mm. But I liked it better than 3 stars. I'd say 3.8 stars. It did get a little repetitive after a while, but it was all about stimulants. Hmm. And I've never talked about stimulants on the show because I've never really known anything about them. But all of a sudden, I am aware that this is a massive world
yeah.
that I've been too naive to kind of know about, I guess. So you have a prescription for Vyvanse.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about getting a prescription, but also how difficult it is to get the prescription, how you get it from your doctor. And I'm not promoting it at all. But yeah, we have a lot to talk about. So yeah. I guess I'm going to start with how you ended up getting prescribed Vyvanse, because it's a very, very, very controlled substance.
So it's even more insane and challenging to get even with a prescription and a doctor now than it was when I first started.
When did you first start?
Maybe like, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago, roughly three okay. or 4 years ago. I have always like dealt with some type of depression from like the time I could remember. And I was diagnosed ADD in, oh gosh, like from an early age. But I went to a Montessori school. And so that type of thing wasn't really like frowned upon. It was more so embraced. And
wait, what kind of school?
A Montessori school.
What's that?
So basically, the concept behind Montessori schools is that you're learning at your own pace. So it's a combination.
So super slow would be my pace. No, I'd still be in first grade.
No, but it's crazy. It's like it's a combination of people that are very gifted in certain areas and maybe slower or like challenged in others. And then, you know, there's also people that are just right on course. It's just like a combination of things. So I should say they don't hold you back in subjects where you're not having issues with.
Okay. That actually makes sense. So it's like a progressive environment.
Exactly.
And so those pills and stuff are like probably much more regular than they are in a typical public school.
No. So I never took anything. I was...
Even though you were diagnosed.
Yeah, I was diagnosed and they were like, here's a prescription. My mom was like, no, I don't think so. Long story short, eventually I ended up going to a Catholic school, which is completely opposite in terms of like how you learn. It's all about discipline and structure. And so when I got there, I was like, wait, hold on. And then I noticed it again. Same thing. I went back to the doctor. They prescribed it to me.
Like attention issues you noticed?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Just more so organizational issues. Like I'm a super creative person, so... The way I describe it to people is that it's like my brain has 1,000 tabs open at one time. Mm-hmm. So it's just like,
as long as it's in Firefox, though, kind of efficient.
Really, though. But yeah, it's just like I'm aware of all of the things that are going on in my brain. But it's hard for me to focus on one and like organize it and just accomplish that task. So like, you know, instead of just, you know, looking at one page and closing it, I'm like, oh, I read two sentences on this page. Now I'm going to bounce to like the 45th page and then I'm back. And then you just end up not accomplishing as much as you could.
I'm living physically with probably about 30 tabs open a day.
Yeah.
And I'll go just close them. But then in my mind, I think, well, maybe I'll go back and actually utilize what I opened it up for. Mm-hmm. And I never end up doing that. But so I can't imagine that. But in your brain.
Yeah.
Because it's enough when it's just on a screen.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, like I've heard so many arguments that say like ADD is like a bunch of crap, which maybe it is. However, I definitely think there's something with creative people where their attention span is shorter and sometimes like some level of structure, you know, helps that develop in like a positive way instead of a negative way. So flash forward, I moved to New York. I was like working a lot. New York is like super stressful and super chaotic. And so I was really hitting...
That's a million tabs open.
Yeah. And then it's like your tabs with everybody else's tabs. And then there's like 10 people in your apartment. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes those tabs are in a bad mood. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they won't get out of the way. And yeah. So I can't imagine.
So then the other thing for me is like I consider myself to be an empath. So I tend to absorb like whoever is around me. And that can be a great thing or it can be a really bad thing just depending on... who's in the room.
So you're really sensitive to energy.
Super, super, super.
How's mine right now? Is it awkward?
No, it's not awkward.
Are you sure?
Yeah. You just seem like a little reserved, but it's okay.
Really?
No, but not, it's like, it's good.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
I always get weird. I always get concerned with what my energy is going to be when I'm with someone I don't know very well.
Yeah.
Because I'm really very, like, I'm very chill and easy to be around, mm-hmm. but I am afraid I don't come across that way. So then I get in my head about it.
No.
Okay.
I'm not, at least I'm not getting that.
Okay, good.
I'm getting, see, this is the ADD.
That was my fault. I opened tabs. That was my fault. No. So flash forward and you were in New York.
Okay. So yeah. So New York was super overwhelming for me. It was great in terms of like, you know, it got sharper in a lot of areas. I was working really hard, but then it got to the point where I was just getting so anxious. Like I would go on a subway and it was like all of these energy is just kind of being thrown at me and I like couldn't filter them out. And then I got to the point where I would pick up emotions and I'm like, this is not my emotion. Like I'm not sad today. Why am I sad? And it wasn't in like a bipolar way, if that makes sense. It was like, I was very much aware that this was not my emotion.
Hmm.
But it was still just affecting my mood. And then it got worse and worse. And then it was like hard for me to go to work.
Is it something like, I'm trying to kind of understand what the feeling is.
Yeah.
Is it something like when you watch the evening news and there's all depressing news on there, you take on that sadness? Is that kind of the same idea?
Exactly.
Okay. I get depressed when I watch the news not so much because of the news, but because of the poor production quality. I'm not even kidding. I wish
like,
this
I was. Is garbage.
It's like it, the set looks so cheap and it makes me sad. It's a really weird thing.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily even all negative. It was just super draining. And so I would come home and I was just like dead. Like just my soul was just like, whoa. You know, I just wanted to stay in my bed all the time. And I have like mental health issues on like my mother's side. So I've always been super like, okay, if there's ever anything that's a little off.
You're hyper aware.
Yeah. Like I'm just going to get it checked out. And so that continued to happen and I would just like get stuck and then I stopped working. And then when I stopped working, it really like showed itself. I didn't want to leave the apartment. Then I didn't want to leave my room. Then it was just spiraling. And at the same time, I was in like a really, really abusive relationship. And I think that when I entered into that relationship, I had already sort of started that cycle of like a depressive episode. And so that relationship became a sort of a distraction to that episode. And it just, you know, obviously with like abuse, especially like physical abuse, it just, you get so lost.
It was physical abuse?
Yeah, it was extreme.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. That's very a bad. Really bad combination of things
yeah.
going on at one time.
No.
I mean, it's
especially
bad enough when
New
it's
York.
Just. Yeah, I know. When you're being abused by New York emotionally.
Yeah.
Then actually physically abused by someone. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That sounds horrifying.
And so we lived together at the time.
And this is a whole other, I would love to get into this conversation of how you got out of the relationship.
That's like a whole other
maybe
can,
if we
can
have
of
time,
worms.
Yeah, maybe
we'll
if we
come
have time,
back.
We'll talk about it. Yeah. After two more margaritas. Yeah.
I'm the only one drinking right now.
I wish I was.
To be fair, it's my day off.
I'm going to soak in your energy of getting drunk. I'm like, I feel so drunk right now, but I didn't drink a drop.
I'm on a two margarita limit. So I'm only halfway through my first one. So basically I just got very, very lost. At the same time that with the relationship was happening, I lost a family, like a very, very close family member. And then that sent my family into like a financial spiral. And then, yeah, there's a lot more there, but I'll just, you know, to keep it short.
We like to keep it shallow here.
Yeah. Just scratch
no,
the surface.
that's really, it just keeps getting worse.
Yeah. And it was all within, I would say the peak of this was all within about 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
That just continued to spiral. It was midway through that relationship when I knew I was having issues, but I was kind of like, I can figure it out. Like, whatever. I'm just in a bad situation. I'll get through it. But my partner, I was just trying to solve his issue. So I was like, okay, I think we should just go to therapy. Like, you need some type of something. Like, I don't know if it's ADD or if it's you're bipolar or, like, what, you're depressed, et cetera.
Or just a dick.
I mean, that showed itself also to be true. Mm-hmm. But, I got him into therapy. And at first I was like, oh, this is, like, the cure-all. They gave him this medicine, Vyvanse. And he immediately started showing signs of improvement. And like he was just so much more positive and so much, you know, things had really calmed down. He wasn't like an alcoholic by any means, but he stopped drinking as much and that helped the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so he encouraged me. He's like, you know, you should just go too. Like, obviously there's something wrong. I was like, you're right. Like
you weren't on antidepressants or anything
no,
at this
nothing.
Time. Holy.
Mm-hmm. Nothing. And so I went and I kind of lied to the doctor, to be honest with you. Because I didn't, you know, when you're seeing a therapist, you're not going to say like, oh, actually, I'm getting my ass kicked at home. So I thought that I might need medication.
Right.
But instead, I was like, you know, I'm having all of these like anxious thoughts. I'm so ADD. I can't seem to get motivated. And all of those things were also true. But, you know, I was leaving a significant part of the story out.
Yeah.
So anyway, he gave me the medication and it was like immediately I felt like myself again. Like I felt like my like child version of myself. I was like, oh, there you are.
Yes.
Like, how nice to see you.
Yeah.
Like, welcome back. You know?
Yeah. I used to say that to a therapist that I had a long time ago that I lost who I was when I was a kid. And it was like a sparkle and the sparkle was gone or the twinkle of that kid was gone. And I never thought I'd get it back.
Absolutely.
And I will say the times that I feel like it's come back has been when I've taken a Vyvanse.
Yeah. It's weird. I've experimented with drugs. But I don't really have like an addictive personality.
I don't either. I'm so I curse most everything of myself, yeah, except the fact that I don't get addicted to things.
Yeah.
I have control over it.
Dab a little here. Yeah. Dab a little
if
there.
I want one. Okay, sure. If I don't, I probably don't want one, but
yeah. So what was crazy about that is, after I started, it was like all of those tabs started becoming very clear and very organized, and it's like they filed themselves by priority. I started remembering things that I hadn't remembered in months. And I'm sure there's like a fraction of that was probably more than a fraction because of like all the trauma that was happening. Also, I was like blacking things out. I wasn't remembering things.
Of course.
And your brain like does such crazy things when you're in situations like that. And it freakishly protects you and the most uncanny ways.
It's protecting you, but actually damaging you because it's blinking out those things that you actually kind of need to feel in order to make decisions to change. Mm. I had an ulcer on my eyeball about a year. I was so weird, like a year and a half ago or a year ago. And it felt like I had knives in my eye. And I was at the ophthalmologist and they put this numbing stuff in my eye. And for the first time in a week or whatever, I had had it at that point. It felt so good because I couldn't feel it. And I said, please, please, can I have some of that to take home? Because it's like, I can't live with this feeling of knives in my eye. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't give it to me beyond just being in the hospital because they needed me to feel the pain,
yep,
to be able to monitor if it was getting worse or not. And if it was getting worse, then I'd have to treat it. And so
that's a good analogy for life.
Right. So it's like your brain is protecting you by putting numbing cream in your eye, mm-hmm, or whatever. But it's not allowing you to feel that pain that would push you to, mm-hmm, get out of the situation.
Totally. It's weird. It's like, yeah, I mean, that's,
but that's what you do. Your brain it's trying so hard to help you, mm-hmm, not feel the pain and the bad feelings. And yeah, so it's going to do what it's going to do. I used to have, I've talked about having very bad memory issues, mm-hmm, and I've not noticed it getting better or worse if I've taken Vyvanse, but I have said that I have definitely felt like I've had holes. And one part was weird because when I went off of my antidepressant, that's when my memory started getting worse, which I would have thought it would have gotten better. Mm. I don't know if it was just my brain trying to get back on track and like find an equilibrium, because I don't feel the memory issues are super intense right now. I've been off antidepressants for probably 6-7 months.
Yeah.
So anyway, but
even going to that though, I think that there's something about like everybody's body reacts, like your body chemistry reacts differently to different medications, and how you respond to one medication is different from how I'll respond. But one thing I will say is whenever I have been off of any type of medication, at first there's like a weird sort of fog for a while until it's like fully flushed out of your system.
Yeah, that must be what I was going through. Mm. So the Vyvanse, you were given that, things started to feel better. And yeah, I know in my experience, it starts to feel less daunting to be alive.
Yeah.
Everything feels...
That's so true.
Yeah. Like the biggest change that I feel, yeah, when I've taken it is all of a sudden I want to call people on the phone.
Yep, and talk to them. Because you're not afraid.
I never want to talk on the fucking phone,
it's
ever.
Because you're afraid.
And then all of a sudden with the Vyvanse, I'm like, oh, I need to call my mom. I want to call my sister. I should, mm-hmm, call my grandma. I should go da-da-da-da-da. And I am not dreading anything.
Yep. No, 100%. Like I think that with people with anxiety issues, I hate phone calls. I do.
Oh my God.
I can't stand them.
No.
I like even certain text messages are hard for me to respond to. And the people that love me get so frustrated because they're like, just answer the fucking phone. Like, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know how to describe it other than like, I don't want you to be able to hear in my voice how I'm actually feeling.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, a text is like, hey, how are you? I'm great. Oh, good. Cool. Even if I'm not. Mm-hmm. But
well, my family knows usually that if they're not hearing from me, it means I am going through a bit more depression than normal, mm-hmm, because the last thing I want to do when I'm feeling depressed is talk.
Yeah.
It feels like an actual 9-to-5 job. Like it feels that daunting, yep, to just have a conversation, and all of a sudden taking the Vyvanse, that lifts. It's like that heaviness of everything lifts. Mm-hmm. The thing that confuses me about stimulants, and I mean, I watched that. this episode is kind of themed, we're not doctors. Yeah. So I have no idea what the F I'm really talking about. Yeah. Just my own experience, and same with you.
Yeah.
But I am confused with ADD medication because what ADD is described as is something that sounds very hyperactive, that you can't focus, but it seems like you have a lot of energy. And not maybe you, but when I think of an ADD kid, it's like he's hyperactive, he's always moving. But the Vyvanse, the couple times I've taken it, gives me so much energy. It almost seems that it would make the kid more hyper, because it's almost like getting a boost of caffeine into your veins.
So from what I've read, because I was just trying to figure out, like, Vyvanse for one is like so expensive and I don't have insurance. So I pay out of pocket, which is like a nightmare. You know, like my prescription alone is like $350.
It's insane.
And, you know, I pay that in cash essentially every time I renew it.
For how many pills? Like 30?
For 30 days.
Yeah.
And then because of like the supposedly like addictive nature of the medication, you have to go back to the doctor every single time.
Yeah, that's crazy. So you can't have a, and that blew me away. So you can't have a refill on a prescription.
Mm-mm. No, and you have to go in again, which means you have to pay for the doctor again.
Right.
Which, like, I think the first appointment was like $250, and then maybe it's like $100 for an appointment for a refill. But I mean, that's a hustle. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And every month?
Yeah.
So are you going through 30 pills a month?
No. I at
you
this
said
point,
before you split them up and like you would put it in a, like a water bottle and drink a little
see,
bit.
See, this is the lowest dosage I've taken. I'm on like 20 milligrams now. And so when I was speaking to you, I had just kind of like gotten back on it again. And I was like splitting it up over a couple of days. Now I can feel that my tolerance is like kind of adjusted more. So I definitely need the 20 a day.
Do you ever feel super anxious on it?
I've noticed that I feel anxious if I'm not eating properly, because you forget sort of to eat, which
you
is
do.
Why they probably use it for the binge eating or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, it's an appetite suppressant.
If I don't eat, I can tell immediately like, oh wow, I need like some type of nutrient or something, because I start to feel a little spacey, and yeah, that's usually my sign.
You could
be dehydrated.
Right. I had gotten dehydrated, cause I didn't really realize that I barely drank any water, and all of a sudden I had gotten this major headache the first time I had ever taken it, and I forgot to eat as well. But do you think when you eat, it slows down the way, like, is it slowing down how quickly it's going through your system? Is that why it makes it?
Well, mine is
less
time
bad?
Released, so I really don't know the mechanics of that. And again, I'm
not a doctor. We're not doctors.
But what I recall reading was that there's something chemically very different about Vyvanse, which makes it more expensive, and also it does something different to your brain. Like, I don't know if it stimulates dopamine, but Adderall is just like strictly a stimulant, and though Vyvanse isn't like FDA approved to be an antidepressant, it has like definite, in my opinion, antidepressant qualities.
Well, I was looking up this stuff about taking Vyvanse as an antidepressant, and it really, in the long term, it doesn't really work as an antidepressant per se, but it can help with refractory depression, which is essentially depression that it's not responding to any medication.
Oh, okay.
So it almost like jump starts your brain back to I don't know if it's to responding to your antidepressant or just you're turning on your brain in general. Mm-hmm. And the reason I actually tried it was because I was on my antidepressant and still feeling like I could not get out of bed. I would be about 15, 20 minutes into being awake and I'd feel okay. Mm-hmm. Anything further than that, I was like, I need to go back to bed.
Yeah.
And my brain just would not turn on. Mm. It's this weird feeling that I can't explain. It's like a dull, muted feeling of being alive.
Yep.
And that's why I tried the Vyvanse, because I wasn't responding at all to exercise, coffee, you know, interaction with people. Like nothing was waking me up.
100%.
And so I do think, I mean, obviously not doctors. I think you can tell that by
our descriptions,
our admission
that
of
thingy, my Bob, you know.
Yeah, I'd be in first grade still at that monastery school.
Montessori.
Montessori. There we go. Clearly not a doctor. But I think there's some merit to it, because not that I'm doing great, and I am definitely continuing to have depressive moments, but I do feel a general sense of my brain being picked up.
Yep.
And I'm not taking, and that's when not taking it.
Well, see, on just to add on to that, so there was a period of time where I stopped taking it because, I mean, I'm going to backtrack a little bit if that's okay.
Go for it.
So after I started, after I got my first prescription, I was maybe on it for not quite 6 months, like a couple months less than that. I, within that time frame, suddenly just like everything clicked. I left that relationship, it, you know, everything. And that was a big, big, big ordeal at
you
the time.
You think it really had something to do with the Vyvanse?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because all of a sudden you feel like you can do things.
Well, you know, it almost feels like you just get like a little bit more aggressive. And I think I had taken on this like passive role in my environment and a passive role in my life. And all of a sudden I was like, you know what? Nope. Fuck this. Like, nope. I'm like, what am I doing? This is not you. What, like, it was like when I started looking in the mirror, it's like, who are you? Who is this person? How did this happen? Like, how did you allow this to happen? Especially because I wasn't raised like that. You know, I mean, that was, we were all, you know, I grew up with like around strong, like black women who were like, they don't take that kind of thing yeah. at all.
So, I grew up with strong black women too.
Okay. Just kidding. anyway, what I noticed is that after like months of taking it, when I would stop taking it, I didn't need it as much. And I was in like a cycle of like good habits.
Yeah.
Also, and I was like thinking differently and just, I was like much sharper. I was much more aware of my environment. Like, I felt like you were saying, I was on sleep mode. It's like I was going through my day. I, you know, would see people and it was just, I wouldn't remember. It was like a zombie, you know?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You were just like existing, but not in any sort of living fashion.
Exactly. Like I didn't have joy for anything. And it wasn't, I think that's one thing that people get confused. They think, oh, like she's depressed. Like she's sad. And she's crying all the time. No, it's, I wish that you could cry sometimes when you're depressed. You just feel nothing. It's like,
that's, oh my God. I was going through that recently where I could not cry. And thank God, I can't remember what happened, but it pushed me over the edge. And I actually had tears for the first time in like 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I'm a crier. So for me to go many, many months without, I'd have like tears build up in my eye, but mm-hmm. nothing would overflow mm-hmm. like from the eyeball.
Yep.
And I'd be like, come on, just fucking go.
That's
just
probably how you
out.
End up with the ulcer.
I know. Well, I do know now
backed
that
up.
I have chronic dry eye, which is a pain in the butt because it's constantly just itchy. But I can't really feel it. The one I wear my contacts and I wear my contacts all the time. So it really only bothers me at night. Hmm. But not having those feelings of just being alive, whether they're good feelings or bad feelings, mm-hmm. is a really hard thing. So so Vyvanse is like one thing for kind of kickstarting your brain, mm-hmm. but it can get to the territory where it can definitely be misused and abused and it can be addicting. But again, like you and I both said, we don't really have problems with addiction.
I could definitely see how it could.
Yeah. Cause all of a sudden you feel like you can rule the world. And so this is where the conversation, about the documentary Take Your Pills comes in. And so if you guys want to check it out, you know, you can see it on Netflix, but essentially it's this living in a world where we're held to really high standards to mm-hmm. succeed and to be the best at whatever it is we're doing. The couple times I've taken it, I have not taken it with that in mind where I'm like, I'm going to be the best athlete I can be or, you know, anything like that. It's like literally just so I can function and get a few things on my to-do list done. Mm-hmm. But it speaks to this larger issue that's going on, which brings me back to the beginning of this podcast when I said I had no idea this was such a big world. And they can, so stimulants is anything from like Vyvanse to Ritalin to Adderall mm-hmm. to, so, and I don't know what, so I guess Ritalin's like methylphenidate.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Adderall also is somehow, I mean, it's a, like again, I'm not a mathematician. Sorry, Jesus. I'm not a scientist, nor am I a doctor. But I think that there's like a couple of things that make it different, which, you know, and with compounds can make a massive change. But the generic of Adderall is usually, it says like a meth something 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 salt.
It's two things. The generic for Adderall is, I wrote this down. So Ritalin is methylphenidate, and Adderall, the generic, basically are the combination of amphetamine and dextroamphetamine. And Adderall stays active in your body longer than Ritalin, but Adderall builds up a tolerance. So I think there's more of a crash from Ritalin, but Adderall patients tend to continue to increase their dose because they're not feeling the effects, but you can raise that dosage as high as you want and you still will build up a tolerance to it.
See, Adderall, I took Adderall as well. Many times.
What does that feel like versus Vyvanse?
For me, it's, again, like everybody has a different, you know, experience. For me, it was effective, but the crash from Adderall was like horrible for me. Horrible. Because unlike Vyvanse, you still feel a little bit of a crash if it's out of your system for too long, but it's much more gentle than Adderall. Adderall, I would go into a complete mood swing. I would just be so mean and like angry and like didn't want to get out of bed and just not myself at all. Like an opposite, very aggressive.
Yeah, I've heard that too with Ritalin. They like, I feel like it's like Ritalin, you, you're stimulated and then you're just not stimulated in your brain. Whereas, I mean, I've never tried that, but Vyvanse, I've not had the issue so far of any sort of... any sort of withdrawal. I mean, I don't, I've only taken it a couple times, but like the, at night I've noticed if you do take it too late in the day, be up all night, but the fade from it at night, it definitely seems to progress in a normal feeling fashion. It doesn't feel like boom and then boom. It just, I do think I tend to just start feeling tired, but it takes a lot longer to start feeling tired.
Well, even when I stopped taking it completely, and I stopped for like a combination of reasons. One was just because it was too expensive at the time. And two, because for a few months I was like, oh no, I feel much better. And you know, I removed a lot of like toxicity from my life. So I was like, oh, you know, maybe it wasn't just me. But it took almost about a year, maybe a little bit longer than a year, until I was like, you know what? I think I do actually still need this. And I didn't get it right away, but it took that long for me to really, really feel like it was completely gone.
Yeah.
And I noticed it then because I was like, oh, I'm in a much like happier situation. I'm in a very healthy lifestyle, but I'm still feeling just like a bit off.
So did you take Vyvanse today?
I took a day, about an hour before you came.
So are you feeling anxious at all? Because as much as it wakes me up and makes me feel alive, it makes me feel very anxious. And then I'll have like a moment where I'm very, I told you this at the party, where I get like, there's like an hour where all of a sudden I'll get very aggressive, moody, and everything annoys me. I'm super irritable.
I get that as also.
It's
not always like the same timing. But I do notice there's at least like a brief period in my day where I'm like very aggressive. Not like crazy, just, you know, more so than my normal self because I'm pretty like passive overall.
And does it bother you that you have that moment? Because when I get it, I get very bothered. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to feel hyper sensitive to everything. And
yeah, it's annoying. I think my main thing though is like... I just don't want to be around other people when I'm having that moment. And as long as I'm by myself. And
they're like, we don't want to be around you.
Well, it's like, they, you know, they don't know. Like even for my poor boyfriend, like, you know, he's just one of those like happy-go-lucky individuals who's just, you know, he's got like rays of sunshine flowing out every place. So I think for him.
That jerk. I'm so jealous.
I know, me too. It's like a little weird for him where he's like, well, all of a sudden, what's the mood swing? I'm like, I'm sorry, it's going to pass. Like, just... I know it's weird, but just leave me alone for like 20 minutes and then I'll be over it and everything's fine.
And that is always going to happen sometimes?
I find that it usually always happens at some point. I think when I first started again, it was much more startling. And then now this has been maybe like close to 30 days that I've been taking it again regularly. And it's less. I haven't noticed that's it good. As much. Yeah.
So it doesn't make you not want to take it.
I think it's because of the adrenaline or whatever you're getting out of it. I think that if you channel it like into like going to the gym or just being active or like cleaning your house during those times, it's great.
Yeah.
Or like if you're working, it's awesome. But yeah, if you have idle time, you get very like flustered.
Right. So when I went, when I took it and then I went to the gym once, I thought to myself, this must be why so many people come to the gym. They're all taking this shit.
Yeah. Like, I think they are.
I think it's just so prevalent and we're not aware because you don't see someone pull out a
pocket
thing or a pill thing and pop a pill.
We're in that party, you know, small party. Okay. That conversation got brought up and three people in the room. Three people. No, yeah, four.
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 Me,
four people.
You
in the room.
And then two others were like, oh yeah.
Oh, like that's what I take. And I mean, first of all, if you knew how challenging it was to get that prescription filled, I mean, I took it to, and again, I went to a regular doctor, you know, got the script, et cetera, et cetera. They called it in even. Okay. And I also had the little paper slip.
Yeah. They still give you a hard time.
Sorry, we can't fill it.
And like, why? Because they don't have enough pills?
No, it's so weird. So I guess like, okay. So, the first thing was I tried to fill it at CVS and I called and I said, hey, you know, my doctor, he just called in this prescription. Just wondering if I can drop it off today, blah, 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 how long it's going to be. I just want to know like for sure how much it's going to cost, et cetera, et cetera. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, we can't tell you if we have it. And I was like, what do you mean you can't tell me if you have it? Like, how weird is that? You know?
It's not herpes.
You know, and I think the girl knew that I was just super confused.
Yeah.
And she was like, listen, she's like, I'm not even supposed to tell you this. She's like, but, we're not legally allowed to tell you if we have this medication because it's like a class one or class A, whatever. And it puts us at risk for robbery and a bunch of other things. And I was like, oh, okay. So how do I know if you can fill it? Like I just come in randomly.
Right.
She just kept saying like, oh, come back next Thursday. Come back next Thursday. So I did that for about 3 weeks. And then at that point, I'm starting to feel like a crazy person because
right.
I'm, you know, like a little crackhead, like going to the same CVS every Thursday.
Do you feel like they're treating you like a crackhead?
Okay, so CVS was...
I'd be paranoid.
CVS was... maybe I shouldn't even say CVS, but whatever. They were really nice about it. They're just like, we just don't have it. And again, we're like, you know, in proximity to Venice Beach. So I get it. There's a lot of
okay,
like,
yeah.
A lot of drug Makes issues sense. And whatever. Then I went to a Rite Aid and... they actually like really pissed me off to the point where I wrote a letter.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I went in, I called and I said, hey, I have this prescription. I've had a lot of difficulty filling it. At this point, I already kind of like knew what was going on. It's like, I understand that you guys can't explain it or like can't let me know officially. But I don't want to waste my time. Like, do I have to go to 10 different pharmacies to just fill, you know, figure it out? And she's like, oh, I think we can fill it. She's like, just come in. And if not, we can fill it within the next couple of days. I was like, okay, thanks. So I go in, I'm like, hey, I have this prescription. I drop it off. Oh, well, have you ever been here before? And I'm like, no, I haven't been on any medication. Like, no, I mean, not in California. And so they have me fill out this whole thing. They take my ID. They want like a second form of identification. I give them the slip. And the same woman that I guess like I was on the phone with, she's like, well, we can't fill this here. And I was like, well, I just spoke to you. Like, I recognize your voice. This is like, you know, it's right down the road. It was less than 10 minutes. Oh, well, no, I didn't tell you that.
She puts on a glasses and mustache. She's like, no, that was someone else.
Yeah, she's like,
deepens her voice.
I'm like, there's three people here.
No, that was another guy.
You know, and then I was like, well, you just told me that you could fill it, if not today, within the next couple of days. I didn't tell you anything. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay. Now I'm starting to feel crazy.
Yeah.
Because it at that point had been over a month.
You were like, if I was on the Vyvanse right now, I would bitch you out because I would have so many words coming to my head.
Yeah. And then instead, I was just like standing there like, gosh, like I'm starting to feel like really Looney Tunes.
Of course.
So then the thing that bothered me, and I don't remember the exact details, so, you know, forgive me there, but was just sort of like, she had sort of like an attitude as if this happens to her so frequently that she's used to like a bunch of drug addicts coming in. And I'm like, dude, I'm just here because a doctor, a real doctor, gave me a prescription for a medicine that I need. And it's ridiculous that because it's mental health related, that you're treating it as if I'm like about to go shoot it up in an alley.
Right.
You know, I mean, my health and my mental health is just as important as, you know, someone who needs birth control or someone who like, has, you know, some type of dental thing going on and they need a, like a stronger painkiller. Like, I don't understand why.
I wonder if it's easier to get in a pharmacy that, you know, is not it's Los Angeles.
That's exactly what it happened.
So it's like if you went maybe to, I don't know, Idaho or something and, you know, it wasn't a thing where everyone was trying to get on top and beat other people at the game of living.
Well, I found out that long story short, I had so many experiences with that. And I after Rite Aid, I just like, I gave up for a month or two. I was like, you know what? Maybe it's the universe telling me that I shouldn't be on this right now. So I'll just take a break. And so eventually I just called the doctor and I was like, listen, I've had a really challenging time getting this filled. You guys called it in. I went to CVS, Ralph's or Vaughn's, I forget.
Yeah.
Rite Aid, no one can do it. And so they're like, okay, well, we'll call like a smaller pharmacy for you. And then they filled it, but it was more expensive.
Like a pharmacy, a smaller pharmacy as in more of a mom and pop shop.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah. They're not probably getting inundated as much as a mainstream one. It speaks to how much the drug must work if this many people are trying to access it and if it's that controlled. And it makes me wonder why it is that controlled because it does seem like it just helps people be more productive people. Mm-hmm. Why are they so protective of it?
Yeah.
Do they not? And I'm not a conspiracy theorist whatsoever. Are you?
Because
it's like, well, do they not want us to be awesome and doing great things?
I have a real issue overall trusting
Big Pharma.
Yeah.
At all.
Essentially. Yeah. Only because I think like, wow, this is the only place, not the only place, but one of the few places in the world where we're allowed to advertise medication and, oh, hey, come take blah, 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 blah. Oh, also the side effects are death, stroke, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm half Australian. In Australia, you don't see that at all. It's like not
because
allowed.
They're not advertising?
Yeah, because, again, I could be wrong, but I think that legally they're not allowed to do that.
You know, it's insane that we can be propositioned with medication on television.
Right.
It is very insane if you think about it, but because we see it all the time, every day, it becomes so normal to us. But someone from outside of the US would see that and go, what?
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden then you get people thinking, oh, well, maybe I have that. And then obviously it just feeds the money system of big drugs. But that's why I do get a little confused on why they're so controlling of it, because it's making them money.
Well, the thing is, I think, and again, I could be wrong, but you know, different doctors, different places are funded in different ways. The doctor that originally, not my first time using it, but the most recent one, when I went to him, he prescribed me something else. And I told him, I said, I'm not really interested in experimenting with things.
You know,
I know my body. I know that this works for me. And he's like, oh, it's too expensive. You don't want to use this. You don't want to use this. He's like, try this. And I was like, okay, I'll take you up on it. I'll try it. And then, you know, but I said, do you genuinely think that this is the better choice?
What was it?
I couldn't even tell you. Yeah. It was like a no name sort of whatever. So he essentially, he wrote me the script for that. So I went home and I was like, I just don't feel right about this. And I looked up the medication and it was horrible. Like all of the reviews were like, this makes me nauseous. I'm miserable. It took me 6 months for it to even work. And wow. I'm like, you just wrote me a script because you're obviously getting some type of kickback for it.
Right.
And this is like, you know, the one that you're pushing right now.
It's crazy.
So I called him immediately. I was like, I'm not happy with this. I was like, please just write me for the script that I know and that I'm aware of. I don't care if it's more expensive. I just want to feel like myself.
Yeah.
And so he did. It was fine.
Yeah. When you look at anything, it's nothing's black and white. Like you think a doctor is there to help someone with their health, but there's so much more behind it, that their motives and nothing, you can't really trust anything. And it's really disheartening. And what was I watching? I was watching something recently. Oh, food. It was food stuff. Mm-hmm. It was all about, you know, high fructose corn syrup and all that kind of garbage that's in our bodies. And it's just crazy that these companies can sleep at night knowing they're basically poisoning their customers for money. It's just insane that anyone can actually sleep. Maybe that's why everyone has a prescription to Lunesta, because they're so guilty about the choices that they've made in their lives. Anyway,
on a separate note, and you know, some people would have words for me to say this, but you know, we look at the heroin problem that we have. Why is it there? because Big Pharma didn't do what they needed to do. They overprescribed. They like push pills on people that.
Wait, can pills lead to a heroin addiction?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, because say, this is kind of the story that I've heard loosely, and again, not one specific person, but a little bit of everyone's stories. I had a back injury. They gave me some type of opioid.
Yeah.
Okay. My insurance, after my back injury, went out because I lost my job and now I can't work. Oh, I can no longer afford this expensive medication. In rural areas, then they end up on freaking heroin.
Right.
Because it's the closest thing.
Right.
And it's accessible.
It's cheap. Or not cheap, but
it's cheap. Right, a lot like cheaper said, than cheaper prescription than, pills. Yeah.
Right. And accessible. Well, with Vyvanse, I was looking up the risks and
yeah, there's a lot of on their paperwork. So it's like paranoia, psychosis, delusions. All those kinds of things. For me, I haven't experienced that.
Well, what I read, it was like if you take too much of it, you know, like if you're taking like a gajillion pills in a day or something. But back in 2004, this company responsible for Adderall had to report no less than 32 deaths. And I don't know what they mean by no less. Were they required to say at least 32 people died on Adderall? I don't really understand that wording. But there were 32 deaths directly or indirectly caused by Adderall. Of those 32 deaths, 20 of them were heart attacks suffered after taking Adderall, and 12 of them were strokes. And
that doesn't surprise me because a lot of people mix Adderall with other things.
Yeah. Like other pills.
Other pills, yeah. Other drugs, you know. And again, similar to Vyvanse, but different. With Adderall, you can also drink a lot on Adderall and not know how much you've actually consumed. Because you're fully functional. You may not remember it.
Right.
But in terms of like your motor skills, you're perfect.
Right. Well, that's crazy. Yeah. So your gauge is off completely.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. This conversation could continue on, but we're going to get into segments.
Do it.
Okay, cool. So because Vyvanse kind of makes you happy, instead of doing who's sadder this week, I changed it to who's happier.
Oh, that's cute.
In theme of the show. But it's kind of a mean who's happier.
All right.
So Khloe Kardashian just had her baby today.
I think she's 50-50. I think she's like overjoyed with the birth of her child and like, you know.
But you know what happened.
Yeah.
So she was cheated on. So shitty.
So shitty.
Her boyfriend, they're not engaged or anything, right?
No. I think that from what I've read, I think they live together in Ohio, actually.
Yeah, in Cincinnati. Cleveland. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Tristan Thompson?
Whatever his name is. We won't even speak his name anymore.
Well, so I have a theory on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is all too very convenient. The day Khloe has a baby, we find out her boyfriend's been cheating on her. Kris Jenner, I believe, is a marketing genius. And I would not be surprised, so speaking of conspiracy theories, if Kris Jenner had this all orchestrated, because this creates such great headlines and amazing drama. Are the Kardashians that quote unquote lucky that something like this would happen the day she gives birth?
I don't think so. And the only reason I say this is because when you watch them, regardless of like how people view the choices that they've made, they genuinely love each other. And I think that like as a mother, you would never want to see your daughter so like hurt.
I agree. I don't think Kris seems like someone who has a bad heart. And I think, and not by orchestrate, meaning that Kris made him go have an affair.
Oh, no.
But I feel like the timing of it being publicized right around now, like I feel like she knew Khloe was about to have a baby and like,
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
So the first video was from October. Right. So there's probably no doubt that that video has been circulating for some time.
Oh, of him cheating on her.
Yeah.
Yes. But that's what I'm saying why is it big now?
So then there's another. But here's the thing. It's like it's possible. I don't think so. Only because, again, like genuinely, I think that her children are still her like first priority. So no matter what, like at this point, they have so much money, like more money. OK, cool. Like they could literally do nothing as of today.
But I don't think I don't think it's money. I think it's the fame and the attention that they run on.
Yeah, I just On this one, I don't think so.
I probably not, but I wouldn't be surprised if.
I would say this. I wouldn't be surprised if someone else
knew it's like involved with
or like tried to like blackmail them or just, you know, it's just once you get to that type of level.
Yeah.
Of like everyone's just coming for you all the time. Like I can't even imagine. I just I genuinely don't want to believe that anyone in their family would want to profit off of her harm. Like Kim's situation was different because Kim, you know, she had a tape. Do I think Chris probably like had them reshoot the tape or like may doctored it? Yeah, probably, because who cares? At the end of the day, like they had sex. Everybody has sex. Okay, it was on film. But this is different because it's like actually like attacking her heart.
But I didn't even say the second half of who, it's okay, but this will tie through. So Khloe Kardashian, who's happier? Khloe, because she just had a baby, mm-hmm. or the chick that she stole the dude from?
I definitely still think Khloe. I think the chick is going to have her 15 minutes and she'll profit off of it.
I did read though. So I have a little bit of a hesitation doing this.
Okay.
Who's happier? Mm-hmm. Because I read that the girl, Jordan Craig is her name, who was with Tristan Thompson before Khloe. And
oh,
she
the
was,
wife.
So
she, or the baby.
Baby yeah. mama. Mm-hmm. So she was pregnant and then Khloe kind of stole him away or he left her mm-hmm. for Khloe. And now the exact same thing happened to Khloe. Yeah. But I read Jordan's whatever.
Her tweet.
Message or tweet. And it was very like. Nice. It was like no one deserves to feel any pain and she's not happy because of this news or anything like that. But deep down, do you think she's kind of like, well, bitch deserved it. She did it to me and now it's happening to her. So who's happier? Khloe for having the baby, but also sad because her world is crumbling, but also just had a new birth into the world, or this girl, Jordan, who claims she's not happy, but it's kind of seeing this karma come full circle.
I'm still, ooh, that's a tough one. Because the thing is like, so we only know what we know. Or what they
tell us. Which isn't much, because we're not doctors.
Yeah. We ain't doctors. But who knows? It could have also been a situation where, you know, cheaters, they cheat. And they have like a pattern of it. So I wouldn't be surprised if she knew that he was a cheater. And I guess it just depends on like, is
you
it
mean
something?
You mean Khloe knew he was a cheater?
I should backtrack.
Girl?
I guess what I'm saying is... It's hard to say that like, oh, okay, did Khloe, also I'm like team Khloe all the way. It's hard to say that Khloe would like actively
steal
go
someone.
After someone's dude. Okay. I don't know.
You think
know
it
her.
Happened more organically. They were really
yeah,
connecting
you know,
and it seemed right.
And if someone cheats on you, I guess what I'm saying is like cheaters constantly cheating. Okay. It's different if they have like this one like crazy love affair, but like people that are just want to have sex with other people all the time, they're going to do it. And they're really good at hiding
it. He's an NBA star who makes a lot of money and he's like 26 years old.
Exactly. So
it's kind of a dude who's going to cheat.
I genuinely don't think that his first love or his baby mother, whatever, feels sort of like a karmic thing towards her, but she probably feels it towards him.
Yeah.
She's probably sitting there thinking like, good, now you're getting dragged real publicly.
Yeah.
And like, you're going to have to feel the weight of whatever you've done to her. And, you know, now I have like a brighter light on me as well, because probably, you know, I would assume that he probably said things that weren't true about her. I don't know. Again, I'm reaching because I really don't know.
Yeah, but that's a great point that she's probably happier in the sense that he's getting noticed publicly more so for who he really is.
Yeah, that's probably right. Her karma. Because it's got to be hard too. Like, oh, wow, I just had this, you know, this beautiful child.
Yeah.
And then now this
now
person leaves me
this.
For this, you know, superstar celebrity. And that's got to kind of like sting a little bit.
Avi, yeah.
So, yeah, I think... You know, I mean, but also I think Khloe is, she's lucky that she's found out this soon. I know that sounds shitty, but you know, right before the baby's born, you know who he is now. So like,
do you think she's going to go back with him?
I think she'll try to work it out
yeah.
for a little while.
When you have a kid together, it's like,
you've made all these plans and it's like, at some point, yeah. I don't know.
We need to get her a Vyvanse so she'll say like, nope, I think she can afford a few.
I think, yeah, you know,
so
I don't
know. So
she'll
stand up and be like, meh, this is not for me. But
she seems like a strong
she is, yeah,
individual.
She's totally strong.
I think if she chooses to take him back, it's like she's actively choosing, okay, this is for my family. And, you know, maybe they end up with an open relationship or something. Who knows?
Yeah. It's not a bad idea, which I really am not like totally opposed to. No. It's like, yeah, okay. I mean, whatever. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. the depression impression that I'm going to do today, I haven't done depression impression in a while, is Mariah Carey. Mm-hmm. Did you see that she came out saying that she had bipolar
disorder? Yeah, I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, she was diagnosed back in 2001 when she had that kind of mental breakdown, but I don't think she came out and publicly said it.
Yeah.
And then now she's in therapy and taking medication, and it's bipolar 2. But she said that she's kind of back, you know, the medication and everything made her get back on track. But she was afraid that she was going to be like thrown under the bus for like she was afraid someone was going to reveal it. Like she was just living with this burden. Mm-hmm. So she finally just said, I'm just going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And show it. But so my friend, I didn't know about it. And my friend sent me a screenshot of an article from like Hollywood Reporter or something. And it said Mariah says, you know, the burden of carrying around the secret of bipolar disorder was too heavy. But the picture that they used, her boobs were so huge and heavy looking that my friend was like, but how can she carry around boobs that heavy? So she sent it to me, and I thought that was really funny. it's cool that, you know, I don't know, the more celebrities come out and kind of normalize it, it normalizes the conversation.
You know who I think did really great with that is Kalani.
Who's Kalani? You know,
yeah, so she, or Kalani, however you say it, but she's like a pop star.
I'm kind of uncool. I don't know. No. The fact that I even know about this Tristan and Chloe thing.
Well, you're on your show.
Means I'm super hip.
No, so she came up like with sort of like the Bay Area artists that were on the rise. Like she came up with like G-Eazy.
Oh, I'm familiar with all the Bay Area. I'm kidding.
She's like, oh, yeah, I know them, girl.
Oh, all the Bay people. Oh.
No, but she had like a very public, I think she was with an NBA player or something. I don't remember exact details, but she had like a public, I don't know if it was a suicide attempt or something where she was hospitalized.
Oh, shit.
And before that, she was like buzzing, but she wasn't like breaking through all the way. That happened. And then after she like healed, she just was really public about it.
Wow.
You know, and ever since then, that girl is like on fire.
That's crazy.
Like on fire. Like she's on the Eminem, new Eminem album. She did.
It's because people want to see real. And so when you go through something like that.
It's relatable.
Like, yeah. I hate to say that it kind of is like a street cred thing. It's not street cred, but all of a sudden you're a human being in other people's eyes. And it's like, wait, let me listen to this person. They had struggles. Let me hear what they have to say.
Exactly.
And then it opens their eyes to them.
Yeah. But you should look into her. She's cool. She's like
Kalani?
A little poster child for mental health right now.
Cool.
And one of the few doing it.
Kalani.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's easy to remember because I thought you were going to say colonic, which I want so badly, by the way. I'm so bloated. I've never had one, but I want one.
I've heard you lose like 10 pounds.
Oh my God. But then everyone's like, but you get right back to where you were really quickly.
Water weight.
Yeah. So the last thing is the F debt shit segment. Mm-hmm. Normally I talk about something that's a little bit more like creepy or current eventy, but because we are talking about Vyvanse and these stimulants, I wanted to talk about just list a couple things that are natural stimulants.
Mm-hmm.
And a way to, you know, not have to try something maybe so heavy duty to wake your brain up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know these things. I just found this list, so I'm not experienced with any of them. But there's one called L-theanine.
So wait, am I supposed to say fuck that shit?
No, no, that's funny. But you should. That'd be funny. Yeah, fuck that shit. Fuck L-theanine. No, it's just the topic, the segment.
Oh, okay.
It's called, but it has nothing to do with it being F that shit right now. It's just more me crowbarring and being able to talk about this stuff.
I haven't heard of that one.
Okay. I haven't either. It says it's an essential amino acid that acts as a physioactive substance, and it crosses the blood brain barrier very quickly. So you feel it quickly.
Hmm.
It's been used for ages as stress relief and an antidepressant. And doctors say it's a viable tool for decreasing anxiety.
Hmm.
And then another one is called salbutamine. It's a member of the vitamin B family, which I almost feel like sounds like a rap family or something.
The vitamin B family. Also related to vitamin C graduation.
And I guess, I don't know, these all have been like around for a while. I don't trust that they totally work because the next one is St. John's wort. And I've tried that and that didn't work.
Yeah, I think I used to take that as like a kid, maybe. Mm. I feel like my mom would just be like, yeah, pop this pill.
Yeah, my mom. Vitamin, but, same. Yeah. As a kid, I remember always hearing St. John's wort, because my mom occasionally would take it. But I don't know if she ever had really any good results on it, but it's a natural thing you can try. And then inositol, which is another vitamin B, and then SAMe. So these are all natural ways to wake your brain up.
I'm just
apparently
feeling so unsmart.
Me too. Well, like, I can't even spell them or read them, let alone talk about them. But I just want to throw this out there because I don't want to sound like I'm promoting Vyvanse or, something.
No, not at all.
Like a heavy duty drug. But, you know, it's like one of those things where if you really need it, there's an answer, which is amazing. Anyway, thanks for talking about all these fun, light subjects.
Thanks for listening to me. Blab.
No, it's great. And I feel so relieved in a way to know that, like, Vyvanse and those things are being taken by other people and that they help other people.
Yeah.
Because I was like, wow, I felt at first like I had a massive, I must have been, there's something wrong with me to need something this strong. But all of a sudden I'm like, whoa.
No, I felt like that too.
Okay.
And the, you know,
everyone needs it.
There's like such a stigma around mental health that it really just like needs to go away. Because if your brain doesn't function, if your mind doesn't function, if your energy's not right, then like nothing else in your life will work either.
Yeah.
So
nothing.
Just fix it, you know?
Yeah. I really just can't believe that there are people out there that don't have depression or like don't have mental health issues. I'm like, how is your brain just like at a normal homeostasis
you're
constantly?
So perfect. How is that?
Like science, like I don't understand the science. How is that even physically possible?
Yeah.
Like my sister, she'll get sad and stuff, but like she never is a depressed person in her entire life. She's never been depressed. And I'm like, how? Mm-hmm. We are from the same parents. What is the difference in our brains? Something. But anyway, yeah. Fun, light topics. just throw back to Khloe Kardashian conversation. This was really fun and easygoing.
Khloe, I love you. Stay strong, boo-boo.
Stay strong, Khloe. I'm jealous of your money. So thank you for listening.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming on the show.
This was so fun.
Good. And if you guys want to support the show, please remember you can go to patreon.com/mentallychill and please rate and review the show only if you like it. If you don't like it, then don't even pretend that rating exists. Yeah. So remember, stay sad enough to listen, but not too sad.